fortuitous chance encounters. So I am interviewing and photographing and videoing a local farmer who can't help but tell me interesting things that are happening in the area. Nothing more interesting than the unveiling of a statue to a storyteller only a few hundred yards from where I was standing. And that storyteller sadly passed away. His name was Simon Moore, and I'm currently sat with his wife on a memorial bench in a small square of tranquility on an equally tranquil hillside overlooking a stunning valley in Wales. And next to us is not only the body of Simon, but also a statue to commemorate, which is covered at the moment in a beautiful woven blanket.
A throw, yes.
And you're Susan.
I'm Susie.
Susie, you're Susie. So tell me about him.
Well, Simon, he went through many metamorphoses in his life. He did lots of things. He was a bus driver. He was whatever down in London. Moved to Wales, found the place that he wanted to be, which was burnt out, completely rebuilt it, did the plans, did the plumbing, did the electrics, did the water, did absolutely everything, and was quite happy and content living in this house, which he'd built. But he wasn't, because in the time when he was building the house, he was in a caravan and he could light the fire and make a cup of tea without getting out of bed. And he found it quite daunting once he moved into the house that it was so big, and really he just wanted to live in the caravan. Anyway, then eventually he met me and we got together and I made the house that he created into a home, which he enjoyed and liked. And
And who are you?
I'm his wife. And I resist being called his widow because I'll never be his widow. I will always be Simon's wife. And I insist on that, really. Apart from the bureaucracies that want to call me a widow, I am Simon's wife and will always be. Anyway, we used to work in various different jobs, and I was a cook, and I was getting a lot of trouble at work, getting into all sorts of really crazy stuff. And he was working there as well in the school, and he was very incensed about my treatment, and that led him on to doing animations. He intended really for the animations to motivate people with a workplace grievance, to have him make an animation about it rather than all the stress and everything else of the legal stuff, which led him into storytelling, which he found he had a natural knack for. In fact, he was unique in that sense, and people would say that they would listen to him reading the telephone directory because he would make it sound interesting, and he had a very hypnotic voice, and I loved him, and I loved listening to his voice, and I didn't always listen to what he was saying. I just loved listening to the voice. So he'd say, "I told you that." I'd say, "Oh, did you? I don't remember." But his storytelling was amazing, and it was... He wrote his own stories, and he could actually, and he, for word for word, he would tell these stories because he was a wordsmith, a weaver of words. And it wasn't just the story, it was the way that the words interacted with each other and the sound and everything. And he just managed to, I don't know, he created all sorts of stuff. He could tell stories about fixing the car and people would be absolutely riveted. And he was, in that way, very special. And I could compile his stories. I could do a compilation of his stories. But it needs him to tell them. They're very personal and very unique to him. And, yeah, he was very much loved. And not as a traditional storyteller. He never did any sort of myths and magic and all that sort of stuff. He created all his own myths and magic. And he would research down to the nth degree what... The time of year, you know, whatever was happening at that time and what ores and whatever and stuff in the mountains. And then he'd make a true story and then he'd take it off at a tangent and create a kind of myth.
Wow. myth maker. That just sounds amazing. Yeah. And you yourself are a passionate storyteller and assist in storytelling groups.
I'm not a storyteller. Oh. I sing. I sing traditional music and contemporary music. And
no words?
No words.
Have they got words?
Oh, yes.
Then you're a storyteller.
Well, I suppose.
Is it folk?
This is traditional mostly, but also contemporary. But, that's what I've always said, is that, you know, songs are stories. But listen to the words. And I tend to sing things like ballads and songs that do actually have a story. And obviously some kind of political stuff, but, you know, quite emotional stuff, really. I've got this, I don't know, I can actually reduce the room to tears, although I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
Happy tears?
Well, I think so. I like to think so.
Oh, so what are you expecting over the next couple of days?
I am having an unveiling of Simon's sculpture tomorrow, and I'm expecting maybe 40 or 50 people. And we're going to come here and we're going to do the unveiling. And then we're going to go on to the local community pub. And we're going to have storytelling, song, and food and chat. And I've got quite a few people camping, so then the party will carry on after.
Fantastic. And all in Simon's memory. And what a great way to bring together friends to continue what he was passionate about as well, and what you're passionate about.
Everybody loved him. He's made a big hole in a lot of people's lives, not the least mine. Because really we were a team, and together we were a whole. And I'm planning this now for tomorrow, and I am making so much food. My friend Louis just said to me, "Susie, I think you've gone a bit over the top." And I said, "That's because you weren't here to tell me not to, because that is what Simon would have done. He'd have said, 'Susie, this is enough. You don't need to do any more.'" But yeah, and Louis said, "Yes, I knew you were going to say that."
Oh, well, thank you so much. I accidentally came up this road earlier on thinking I was lost, but I definitely wasn't.
You are now found.
Speak to you again very soon.
I hope so.